Good morning, everybody, and thank you for coming out on this foggy morning. I hope it lets up. I mean, we just might have major a little more safer. I'm glad that caused everybody to smile. Well, thank you this morning for some great music, and we're going to be talking about the old man and the new man, what that involves. For us as living our Christian life, how it's made true and true. So the music this morning is actually one of my favorite songs of ancient words. Ancient words of how they have the power to change us. And that's not just because of their antiquity, it's because of where the ancient words come from. They come from God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The words of Christ that we find in Scripture that gives us life and allows us to change. I have Dan play song 3, take it all. Take a deep breath and breathe in the life that God has for us. He has given us life. So you didn't hear it, but in the background track, there's another track that has the background vocals that says, I lost without you. How true that is. In this day of people giving their own ideas of what constitutes true, we are so thankful that we have the Word of God that told us how we can approach it. So I've entitled my message this morning, Why Truth Matters, the New Creation in Christ. If you take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17, we're going to learn something about the Christian walk and about what the new man and what the old man did. So, of course, the New Testament writers have a great deal to say about truth and error. And Mary's been explaining, as he's been working through the book of Peter, it's of great importance that we know this, that we understand and know sound doctrine, so we can recognize error. Because what we believe determines our eternal destiny. So for us as Christians, our faith is just not a leap in the dark, but there is a context, there's a body of truth that must be learned and believed. And that's why Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, he says that if you did not learn Christ in this way, that you know better, you know something about the life of Christ. So our faith, of course, is Jesus said, comes by hearing, and by hearing, of course, by the water, the Word of God. And God, of course, has given us everything we need to live a godly life before Him. And then Jerry straight covered this in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, one of my favorite verses, that talks about God and His power giving us everything that we need to live a godly life before Him. We don't have to go searching elsewhere. We don't have to look down through the writings of the sages of history. We have everything that we need to live a godly life before Him in the Bible, in Scripture, in His Word. And I certainly agree with Barry when he says that how amazing it is the book that's been written over the past 3,000 years, how consistent it is, how related it is to each other, the different books, different authors, and above all, how contemporary the message is for today. It's always alive. It always meets our needs. And that's one of the great truths about Scripture. When we think about that, we think about the great tragedy that follows error in our world. Think about the waste of time, the waste of resources, the waste of lives. Every time I drive down the road, not too long, more than half of the buildings erected by the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Kingdom Hall. You think about all the energy, time, electric bills, and paper, ink, and the lives, and the time spent, something that's not even true, or something that's based on error. And we have the truth. We have the Word of God. So, knowing and being able to identify error is so important so that we can learn how to walk carefully. And you know, when you think about it, maybe people on the street would say, well, you know, here's mine, you got your idea, I got my idea. But if you think about it, God created the world, everything in it, created us. He understood our rebellion and our problem. Would not you think that he would have the best plan for coming to him, approaching him, being reconciled to him? So how then can we say, well, I'm going to find my own way? I don't like that aspect of it. I'm going to find my own way. Do you think that's acceptable? He's the one that created the plan how to resolve our major problem of sin. So, when we look at Ephesians, there's a lot of truth in Scripture. One of the important truths is the description of God's creation of new man. And the idea of newness is a very important one. You know, God is excited about new things. He likes new stuff. New electronic adds. But God is concerned about music. He's excited about it. So years ago, we sing a song. In that old time religion, this is my mama, papa, good enough. I think about the new things that God has created. The parable of the wine, the old covenant, what he was trying to say. And the establishment of the new covenant couldn't get the old forest anymore. Otherwise, it would burst out of the old wine and the new wine. So if it was good enough, God would have used the old forest, the old wine. He didn't do that. So we find a lot of language in the New Testament, especially Paul, about new things. So we find that Ephesians 4, there's two different ways of life practice. Based on different structures and identities. The old man, the new man. You've probably heard that kind of language before. And sometimes translations translate the word man as nature or inner struggle or something like that. But certainly there is that ethical dimension involved. But I think when Paul is speaking of the new man, he has in mind certain historic and redemptive changes that have taken place because of the cross. The single most important event in history, rather than warring spiritual natures by the believers. So, actually, I think if you look at the New Testament, there's probably three identifiable structures or components that help us define what the new man is, what Paul's talking about. And in each of these, I think the emphasis is more offering or more community. And sometimes we think of the old man, well, that's kind of like a black dog or a white dog. It does lose that ethical dimension, but there's something more broader that's going as the idea of community, whether first part of the community of Adam or part of the community of Christ. One of the structures that they can find in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, and Paul used the language there, the metaphor to describe our solidarity of Adam. So you find the language in Adam, in Christ. And I think what he's talking about universally here is that at one point, before Christ died on the cross, there was this universal situation where men were lost, who were in Adam. They were apart from God. Especially, he has in mind, of course, the Gentiles. So you have to realize the single most important event in history was not the World War II, although that was an important event. It wasn't the invention of the steam locomotive or the electric light bulb. The single most important event in history was the incarnation, death, subsequent resurrection of Christ on the cross. Because of that event, the new man has been created. Because of that event, one time in history, we were apart from God. We were separate from the commonwealth of Israel. in Adam, all that being in Adam entails the scripture. Being in Adam entails death, sin, different worldview of God had in mind. But because of the cross, now it's a real possibility to be a part of the new man, to be in Christ, being a part of his community. So there's a definite transfer that has taken place historically. So I think when Paul's talking about new man and old man, he's basing it on those important historical truths. And then if you move to the second chapter, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, and also you'll find it in Colossians 2:19, Paul talks about the new man as being the scripture of God, making two groups into one, the Jew and the Gentile. And he says that he has made these one new man. I think, especially in Ephesians, it's kind of the best description of what church is in the New Testament. Groups have been made into one. The Gentiles that were once far off, that were separate from the commonwealth of Israel, Paul says that now that group and the Jews have been made into one new group called the new man, and you have to use words that like they're fitted together. They're a new community. Kind of like anybody that's Lincoln Lodge. So that's the same kind of language that Paul is using to describe the new man as a description of consolidation of these two groups, one new man. So then we move to Ephesians 4, which is our text this morning, and here we find what the new man is supposed to look like. This new unity, how this new body should function. And what he says here, I think that there's certain behaviors and actions that should be true of those who claim to be Christian. Because God has called us into this new relationship. He has chosen us to call us. He says that in Ephesians 1, verse 3. We should act in a way that he fits our new calling. We're different. We're not like old man and all its vision, sin, and lifestyle associated. We have been called to something new, and so we're going to call ourselves believers. We're going to acknowledge the transfer by faith that we have made in Christ. If that's true, then there's a certain way in which we need to walk. Old alliances, you have to be able to get rid of. So I think Paul in addressing the people, some were believers, some maybe were not, so he reminded them of it. And perhaps they were having a difficult time. Well, maybe their friends, they were still walking according to the way, right? There's, we find in scripture, that's why the Bible says, many may be present to be about our values, the things that attract us, the things that we love, the things that we long for, the things that we walk according to, we have a different drug, right? So when you hear the word new man, certainly there's that ethical dimension, that part of us that knows the sin and we're going to walk in the right before God. But it is against that bigger backdrop of what God has done in history through the cross. It's because of the cross that has made it possible. So it's not a matter of Paul saying, well, you know, today, I want you to stop doing all that stuff that you're acting like a Gentile. I want you to knock all that stuff off and start doing more spiritual, physical things. Certainly, there's a behavioral change. You are mine. But the new man has already been created. God made, we don't make the new. We're created in Christ. have to learn how to walk in this world, make decisions. Am I going to live like I used to live? Because the Gentiles, they probably, and the Christian believers, they had neighbors that, oh, come on with us. Do what we normally do. It's normal for them. And so perhaps they were struggling. That's why Paul says to them, I don't want you to walk no longer as you formerly were. Because you know this, he says, but I'm reminding you of it because there's shame that has taken place historically. If you are a real believer, if you have put your faith in Christ, you are now part of the new man. You are now in Christ. But some of the people were still struggling. They're reverting back to their old behavior. So let's look at this a little more closely. In your notes, I have a free dispensation of old men. And I call it that because that's what they're used to. They're predisposed, right? God says that we as believers were once dead in our position. We didn't. Many other things before. We're dead, we're blind, we're influenced by the world, flesh, devil. But we do need serious help. So that's why we need to open our ears to understand the word of God. So, the first thing that you can say about that is you have a suppressed perception. Now, remember that we were once part of this group, as Paul says in Ephesians, you were once dead in your sins. You were walking according to the course of the world. You were dominated, influenced by Satan. And he says, you don't need to live that way anymore. You don't have to be dominated. The power of that has been broken. And so, when he... So he says, that's why he's saying, I'm firm with the Lord. It's kind of like when Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you. So he's saying, what I'm telling you, this is important stuff. So pay attention, Paul is saying, he affirms together with the Lord. No longer, he says, no longer walk just as a Gentile. For it indicates that your readers want to live this way. And they are to stop living that way now and have a different value for the different listening to the Word of God. Before, they were strangers to the covenant of God. The Bible can use that kind of language. They were aliens. They were apart. There's a lot of ancient words that we have. Old and new. We have the far off. And then we have the near. You know, that kind of language. And so, because of what Christ does on the cross, there's a certain change. Now we're no longer far off from the future. So, the first part of Paul's argument has to do with mental process. Remember that we said what we believe determines our actions. How we live out our life. You're going to be a direct perception. Certain kind of disposition and stubborn, maybe self-indulgent behavior. And you know, we need to look at the world around us. In our day, the state universities, the state colleges, generally known for their liberalism, are also being known for being most intolerant. Traditional values and lifestyle. Oh, the young kid goes to university and professor tells them what nonsense it is. If they came to a Christian home and have a stop believing all that fairy tale stuff, we're going to tell you how it really is. It's like, yes, the Master Geographic. Years and years and years. Some photographers, some good articles, I think, right? Then, what was Jesus? Who what truth really is. And so men have made up their ideas. If you don't want to believe the Bible, then what else is it? You gotta make up your own doubt. You gotta create your own doubt. So it is interesting, that type of progression, when the Word of God is despised, and people turn from the truth, and they make God up in their own eyes, they become dark in their understanding, ignorant, stubborn, and then ultimately, behavior starts downward spiraling. So, if we look at the first part, suppressed perception, and we'll also indicate Romans chapter 1. Paul says that, you know about God. They don't do it. But they've chosen not to regard it. It's very funny. Don't understand what he's saying, but they don't believe it. So instead, they start making foolish speculations. That one. Humanism, evolution. So Romans tells us they choose not to retain a knowledge. So coming. Initially, they're ignorant and self-imposed, but eventually God gives them over to you. So, you can say, well, dangerous thing. In verse 11, God has a new okay. You want to live like that? Look what I've done. It makes you know who I am, the general revelation of the world around us, the beauty of creation. John the Baptist, his sole purpose was to proclaim the coming of Christ. That was his whole life. That's all he did, was talk about the coming of Christ. And God said that he was probably one of the most significant individuals in all of history. And that was his whole meaning. God has done all these things. Make himself known. So he's a world without excuse. So, the suppressed perception. You see in verse 17 that something of characteristics of the Gentiles, the mercy of the Lord, Gentiles, made great. In verse 17, he says that the thinking is in the futility of their mind. Sense of aimlessness, kind of wandering around, no real objective, kind of pointless. Everyone, really wrong. Why is everything around here so pointless? Remember years ago, there's people that devoted their lives. So much time, there's individuals that came forward. And yet, some would still not believe, even if they're being faithful, waste their entire life over the utility of the mind. And what So what Paul was saying is that, they're not Jesus. He's saying that, all the philosophies, Plato, Aristotle, and their servants, any great man, were God fearing men, is his word, but as a whole, the outlook of the world in Adam, again, all their vain philosophies, writing in his book,
But Paul is saying that.
He's a great thing. I mean, you think about great composure, beautiful music, lasting. But in comparison with eternity,
today we're making some benefit
for the immediacy, for the here and now. But what Paul is talking about, what truth matters, what real truth matters, is that it's in the last one.
So, on the other hand,
as you see later in this chapter, the renewed mind of the believer faith that he now will triple in other words. So, again, we should take how we think, what is our source of information, what governs our life, and how we live. That's going to affect the steps we take, the things we appreciate, the value we emulate, and the action that we perform. So, how very important. And then here's the progression. They're darkened in their understanding, verse 8. All part of the rest of the section. And so the tension of the word here indicates that this particular state of darkness again is past. With Adam, we have solidarity with Adam. And we're past being Adam in sin before the cross. And so the Gentiles, or those who are still walking according to the old man, their lack of acuity or the understanding or being able to see is because of their reason. So all through this, you're going to see there's an emphasis on the mind. Along with 121, their foolish heart was darkened because of the futile speculation. Didn't come up with some real strange things. Yes, the Word of God.
So, and of course, not only is the word dark, the world dark, people are blind, and there's also
a world of self, and all the values, flesh, a single part of the flesh, and then there's faith. These people forward here, they just believe.
Verse 18, the further part of the stress,
and ignorance.
Corinthians talks about the cross and foolishness. Nonsense.
I mean, even the Jews, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, he was sitting on the boat, they were finally, you know, these giants that knocked the Romans off their pedestals, were going to be top dog in the land, and get the jewel we want. He comforted with the idea.
To get to the point where terror, and Paul talks about it,
as a way, promising pleasure, but instead, some that follow the old man can be so deceived that when you start to call things that are so pure, things that are appreciated, although obviously read things and heard things, it helps talk to me. How do you not see this thing?
Isaiah 5 says, woe to those who call evil good.
Good evil.
He sought to see darkness for life, light for life.
So, let me have the truth. Has not God given us the truth? All the revelation, the Word of God.
God Himself standing before Pilate, and Pilate saying, truth, what is truth?
He has made Himself known. Romans says, we are without. Because we did not think it worthwhile to attain the knowledge of God. So this whole body, or this whole community, this whole way of thinking, is what the Ephesians were saved for. This is their background. And Paul is saying, I know this is the way you've been thinking all your life, and I know that your friends think this way, but you need to think differently, because you're not part of that old man. You're part of the new man. Notice the progression. Then he moves to stubborn disposition, verse 18, hardness of heart. And the word for hardness is sometimes used like marble, or I think even in some medical writings, a joint, hardness. You think of hardness, think of Pharaoh, right? Pharaoh is a hard heart. The only plague come out. There was a gnat. Get him to leave you alone. And these magicians threw up his hands and said, we can't do this, Satan. We can't do this. This is from God. And his magicians recognized the truth. They recognized that this judgment was from God, but Pharaoh couldn't see it. They refused to see it. He would not see it. He chose not to see it because of the hardness of his heart. Then, even further, we have a callous progression, verse 19. Further progress, the heart's callous. You get callous. You give it sensation. Skin is tough and inflexible. And so those that have a callous heart are past healing. They, in other words, they've said no to God, no to truth so long that they've grown insensitive. It doesn't even bother them anymore. And many times the callous is self-imposed. And even with Pharaoh, we see that the more a person rejects God, then ultimately God turns them over. In other words, go ahead. The word sin will eventually come to them. You will face the consequences of your sin. But because you refuse to follow me, then I'm going to give you over. And so we move to the self-indulgent behavior. This downward spiral that begins with wrong thinking. And boy, you go out in the world and you're faced with all kinds of wrong values, wrong thinking. Remember, says the second Peter, God is high and my power is everything that you need for godliness. But the downward spiral continues into self-indulgent behavior. In verse 19, you see that they're committed to sensuality general. They know no other life. This is what comes naturally. This is how they live their entire life. What I feel like doing. We have a large, big emphasis today. Evangelism. Maybe they're just not to give them the whole picture. Maybe they kind of avoid the fine print. So we don't want to lose the convert here. You know what? But Paul says, you guys, you have not learned the Christ from this life. You have not learned the soul. There's definite conscience. But here we find those that continue to hope, they continue to sensuality, and then they commit all kinds of impurity and greed. We were mental today with all our technology. We just got new exciting ways. Easier to trust. So people experiment with this word. In this society, along with all that advanced technology, made it more
sophisticated sin.
And so, in the case of people that still live according to the old man, they're not saved, they haven't been saved,
they look forward to the day. They can devise new, fulfill the desires. This is what the old man is.
So, you need to think carefully about this. You playing out. Don't be
it's not like they were
caught up trapped.
Like, oh, they were. Alright, they had problems. They were all people.
I don't know.
And they just kind of got trapped up.
These are people that thought through how they were going to sin.
All the details, planned it out, waiting for
the appropriate time, manner, circumstance to fulfill certain kinds of desires. You can see the progression. And you know, the Christian life, the Bible knows nothing about the person and the believer. Old man, not that worse of sinners. Not every day. Not the sinners. You're changing it. So, you need to take yourself. You need to putting off and putting on. There is a time when we've got to make up our mind and say, I'm not going to live this way anymore. Or you feel you just go through the motions.
Years. Also, no better than that.
You have not learned Christ that way.
Just as the unbelievers are described in Romans chapter 1. You don't have any excuses. You know better.
So, we need to really take a hard look at our lives. If you find your struggle, but if our life is such that we'd rather have that vision.
In other words, like, you're a different person when you walk out that door.
Something that we don't struggle with.
Our desire should be, no, I don't want to do that. Right, Paul says, we struggle with it. You know, things I don't want to do, I do.
We struggle for it.
But it's not that. There's things I don't want to do, I do anyway. We move on to the progression of the new man. And there's a few things here I'm going to highlight as we move on. The progression of the new man. Paul is telling us that God can be here to walk no longer in the man who is very simple. Seen before those that walk according to the old man, they're characterized by status, stubbornness. They're going nowhere. Bible says, both apart from the Word of God, in the old man, in Adam, apart, far off, they're dead in the sin. Paul is saying, you, on the other hand, being a part of the new man, you're not wearing Christ. You made that transfer from the old to the new. So start living that way. So the plan is to no longer walk. The indication is they did once at one time walk like that before, even Paul said.
Really,
I was just like all of you. You know, we all want to walk according to the Spirit of the Lord, right? You were all one to fulfill our eyes. Christ, trying to open up Christ in our life, saw truth of what it is, and made a decision to faith, trust God. So, how Paul describes the new man is lightened apprehension. You know, if you learn Christ in this way,
turn Christ into sort of a king. Christ, we must be open in hearing the truth. Even Jesus said,
take care how you listen. You listen to it.
Yeah. Paul allows for the possibility that some have not listened. If you have heard him in the past, so, as I said before, you have to say, what is making the danger? All of that is not a church. God is a church. But you have come to talk and spent a lot of time in the hotel. They were interested in the life. In other words, for the person that thought it was a big joke to mock it, well, they get angry at it. But for the person that thought it was a big joke, they see that. So, as you see throughout scripture, there's all kinds of different levels of response. Healed by God, the 5,000, on the hill or something.
Of course, handed free food at work, maybe John comes in, but the thing, he's the sandwiches on the table, people come out of the woodwork.
Or somebody brings them.
Bring tables and
but people follow Christ to get a free meal. And so, you remember even when the word God spoke from heaven, this is my son whom I love, you can't follow him. The text says, the narrative says, that some people said it's hunger. So for some people, the word of God is just noise. And there's others that listen carefully and open up the heart and understand the behavior. So, learn Christ means that we need to embrace human behavior. So, the next part of this is a purposeful, natural relationship. This work is putting off the old man. Remember, that is said, that what is the old man? All those things that were associated with the formal lifestyle, the consequence of being an Adam, that is the language that he used, that's what he's putting off the old clothes, putting off the old suit, and the new suit, the old suit. This formal life, the old man, that which is in Adam, is being corrupted by the heat. In other words, it doesn't produce what it promised. Then, it's never enough. People even have enough. So, old habits can be difficult to break. But we have to remember, because we're part of the old man, because we're Christed on the cross, we no longer hold power. You don't have to be enslaved to it. You don't have to be burdened by it. You can choose not to sin. You can get that through. Don't choose not to sin. I can choose it from God. You can choose to do it from your God. So you can choose not to sin. We will. But only if I can put this in today,
what shall we sin? No, that great.
Of course, you're not part of the old world. You can choose to live differently. The difference of
following after the ways of the world, living this way, planning how you're going to live.
Learn
working out the detail.
Well, how do we do that? How do we make that enrollment
just not be
a package of everything that's close to God in that adult man? So what we want to do is we want to cut off all that.
You know, if we made that,
okay.
You can add it. You can be part of that kingdom of solidarity.
So now we have, remember, God's all about new stuff, new things. He created the new man. And the new man is already created by God. He
created it,
the righteousness, the truth.
The new man has certain characteristics about it that's different from the old one. The old man is characterized by death,
by separation from God,
darkness.
It's characterized by a hard heart. It's characterized by
ignorance.
It's characterized by all these fleshly desires.
This whole vision of living apart from God, turning away from the truth.
That's what the old man is about. The new man.
There's this great freedom in the new man.
We can now serve God. We don't have to. We're no longer apart from God. We can choose. We're now in Christ. We have a hope. We have a destiny. We have someplace that we're going.
We have a purpose for living.
It's kind of wonderful thing to know that in your day, know when you know what you're doing. But this morning, all the things that we do in life, we live our life such a way that we
act on the man that lives according to the flesh or part of the old man.
He just does the things for his easy to take or, feel better than he can.
Paul says, you guys know better.
He, the Bible says, by his creation, we are his workmanship created thing. We have been chosen by God for the purpose. So, put on a good deed. Giving your life to Christ is the way to put on it.
There's tension,
right? There's already not yet. There's
Satan tells us that
there's a future time that we have to process. Even our good month, the power of sin is broken through what Christ has done in the heart. We're a part of it.
But
existentially chooses, for the here and now, there's a part of that that's not quite
happening. We haven't been sanctified and glorified.
So right now, here and now, we have to make a decision about
who we're going to choose this day, which master you're going to serve. Can't be both.
We've got to have to make up our mind who we are going to follow.
So put on the new man.
Put on that new clothing.
And this is only God.
The truth of God and Christ.
This is the only. There isn't another alternative.
The other only alternative is to be part of the old man, which ultimately leads to death and suffering.
So put off that old man.
When he's talking about putting off and putting up, even though that's been done legally, cooperatively, historically, there's things that have to be worn out. Like,
okay, how do we do that?
Heal. If you renew the spirit of your mind, this is the bridge, I think, to make this for the reality every day. You put on the new, you know,
Father,
the saturate our mind with Scripture when we want the language to be
there. You go. Learn it. For young kids, wow. From God, is the Word of God, is the mind of God. And in that book, God is, I give you everything I need. You don't have to turn someplace else in the world for something to fulfill your need, to make you feel better, to give you encouragement. I mean, you know, certainly other individuals that know the Word of God, you have the best. And only resource, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, has given us everything that we need. So, big transformation, something we got to do every day. How do you spend your time? I mean, do you really believe that this is from God?
This is the God that made you.
You expect us to eat it, make it a part of our life, digest it, absorb it, immerse ourselves in it. That is how we learn to live from Jesus. That is what I call purposeful saturation. Laying aside the old, putting it underneath, and doing that. Renewed in the spirit of the Bible. So we need to think about what we're doing. Christ-honoring lifestyle, learning from very interesting words of all you. That's not how we do our evolution. Learning from Christ, remember, we're going to be able to approach that. This is learning about getting to know. When you're dating yourself, before you walk up there and finally, again, it's not just about not doing certain things, start doing some other things, not talking to people. That, of course, that has in all phases of what has happened historically, because of that, Paul. This is what the new man is. I'll let you read that section. Look through it. On his information. It all has to do with love. It all has to talk about how we talk to him, how we feel, our attitude, that is bitter, cold. Also, what I find real fascinating.
honoring God. Talking about learning that you walk about sight.
Just something to take with us.
Living right through maps.
Shouldn't we do that?
Shouldn't we live like
it really matters?
Or do we
live a life like everybody else
lives a life? Doing all the same things as the devil today as well as us. Truth is found in Scripture. Are you eager to learn Christ? Do you mind that mercy? Make up your mind there.
He's already outlined.
You know that?
He's already told us what he wants you to do.
How he wants you to live. So, prevention of standing blind is a very long one. Jerry spent a lot of time talking about it. We all will be in heaven. It's a responsibility. You know it's true. Father, thank you so much. We don't have to look elsewhere because you've given us everything that you had thought you could need, even before we realized that God, remind us.